I am really convicted that people have enough trouble in their lives that they don't need to come to church and find more. You know? I mean, if we can't be joyful, then who in this world has any right to be joyful? I mean, if we can't enjoy life, then there ain't nobody who's going to enjoy life. I just never understood the idea why you'd want to look like you've been baptized in vinegar. You know? I just don't get it. Now, I do understand that Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that there is a covenant there. If you want to turn there, there is some enmity that happened. Now, a lot of times it's necessary to go right back to the basics. Because if you don't have the basics right, if you don't have the foundation right, then you're certainly not going to have the building right. Every professional sports team concentrates on the basics. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam, he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Let's pray. Father, we see the covenant in result of disobedience. The result of a broken covenant. These things are lessons to us that we might not grow weary as covenant partners. Father, you did not create us for condemnation, but have created us that your righteousness be proclaimed throughout the heavens. Help us to keep our main purpose in mind. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. As we reviewed this morning, as we talked about this morning, and we'll review this evening, a covenant is an agreement that involves vows. A formal binding agreement with conditions. A contract is based on circumstances. A covenant is based on character. The concept of a covenant between God and His people is one of the most important concepts in the Bible. Now, who are the parties to this covenant that we just read? They're not identifying terms. Who is Adam? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, the cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and everything that creeps on the earth." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, Genesis 2 and 7, "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." We are the only thing in all of creation that is created in the likeness of God. Now, what does that mean? Everything else on this earth will die, cease to exist forever. It is all temporal except us. That is the likeness of God. Eternal. All systems, all plants, we used to kind of sum it up and say, take a look around, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Being in the likeness of God, being in covenant with God, we're going to live forever somewhere. The choice is smoking or non-smoking. All of the other animals, all of other creation, the spirits die with their bodies. But your spirit will live forever because you're created in the image of God, uniquely in the image of God. And we choose to worship eternally, to enter into that covenant eternally. Those who choose that, choose willingly. Now, initially, God had asked Adam to do some things. Before the passage that we read, which is condemnation, God charged Adam with some actions to participate in the covenant. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper comparable to him out of the ground.' The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he'd call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So, Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no comparable helper for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place, and then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they will be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." What God asked him to do? Ask him to be fruitful and multiply? Ask him to do that? Fill the earth and subdue it? We ask him to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth? They fulfill those portions of the covenant? And then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, now listen, to tend and to keep it. Work is not the curse. Work existed long before the curse. Work was part of the fulfillment for the covenant. Now, work became more difficult as the ground began to resist. The difficulty of work increased. But to hear some people tell it, work is the curse. And then God said, "Out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Now the question is, was Adam a faithful covenant keeper? Was he fruitful? Did he multiply? Did he fill the earth and subdue it? Did he have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth? Did he eat of every tree of the garden? No, he didn't want it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Now let me ask you something. Is 5 out of 6 good enough? What was the consequence for breaking the terms of the covenant? Genesis 3 and verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate. Yea, to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Listen, guilty things by nature try to avoid holy things. Guilty things don't need to be told to avoid holy things. Guilty things by nature avoid holy things. I think I heard somebody call it guilt gut. And the Lord God, verse 9, called to Adam and said to him, where are you? You really think God lost Adam? Or you think Adam lost God? And God is helping him to realize verse 10, Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Sin produces guilt. Guilt produces shame. And some people get real good at hiding in plain sight. Everybody else is doing it. It's our culture. It's just the way. And I have freedom. You trying to put law on me? Verse 11. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, it's a woman whom you gave to be with me. She gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what's this you've done? The woman said, serpent deceived me and I ate. The man said, God, it's your fault because you gave me this woman. It's always the circumstances, see. If you hadn't given me this woman, see, this would have never happened. Now, did Adam have to sin because Eve did? He had more ribs, didn't he? He could have said, God, we need to scrap this one. Cut me open again. Somebody said just the other night that the rib that God took out of the man had the detail portion in it. That's why the women take care of the details. See? Now, this trying to bring the set of circumstances to bear on the covenant is as old a trick as the devil. Eve says, so God says, okay, he says, what'd you do? And Eve says, it's that snake. The devil, God, if you hadn't put that snake in here, see? So God said to the serpent, you know, it's interesting to me to see where God starts with the punishment. He hears them out, hears their excuses, and then he starts to dictate what the punishment is going to be. He starts to make a covenant of punishment, if you will. Don't you, as a parent, start the punishment with the child most responsible? Two kids jumping up and down on the bed. What's that? It's funny I use jumping up, because I always told my kids, don't jump up and down. Don't jump on the bed. You know. Now, I spent some time with Mike and Leanne just a couple of weeks ago, and the kids were jumping on the bed. And kind of a rule at our house, I didn't let Michael jump on the bed. I said, Mike, kids are jumping on the bed. He said, I know. I said, well, aren't you going to tell him not to jump on the bed? He said, no. He said, I've already told him don't jump off the bed. Huh. Yeah. Don't jump off the bed. Two kids jumping on the bed. One's 11 and one is 2. Who do you talk to first? So, where does God start? Lord God said to the serpent in verse 14, because you've done this, you are cursed more than the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. Verse 15 in chapter 3, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Next, to the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. By the way, giving birth is not the curse. It's the increased pain that is the curse. I heard that. Your desire shall be for your husband. It's interesting that that's part of the curse, isn't it? I mean, have you ever wondered how she's ever attracted to something so smelly as you? And he shall rule over you. Next. You see how... Then to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the fruit from which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, as sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground. Again, work is not the curse, the thorns and the thistles and the hardness of the work is the curse. For out of this dust you were taken, for dust you are, and so dust you will return. Remember, biblical covenants identify sin.
Biblical covenants restrain sin. Biblical covenants reveal man's need for sin, or man's need for forgiveness of sin. They give instructions on how to receive forgiveness of sin. And according to Romans 5, 1 through 11, a biblical covenant will leave man with hope, assurance. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Our salvation is not an escape plan. Really, it's not. Because all of these conditions were given to Adam and Eve and us of the covenant. And the conditions aren't to safely escape unscathed. The conditions of the covenant is a transformation process. See, the transformation process is going to have to happen before the escape plan. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Death doesn't occur until we get the job done, until we fulfill the covenant. It's not work that's the curse, it's the hardness of work. It's not the multiplication that is the curse, it's the pain of the multiplication. Now, apply those things spiritually. You see, it's not that we need to say, well, I guess everything's against us and we'll just slug along all that we can. Jesus said go, so I'll go. No. That's not the point at all. Just like Bill said, we can decide what our approach is going to be. And we can either have a covenant approach or a punishment approach. I'm having the time of my life making disciples. It's not the pain of the birth process, but by the curse, that pain has been increased. If I'm willing to take that curse, but you know what? If I am willing to walk in the newness of life, if I am willing not to see this as an escape process, but I am willing to see this as a transformation process, guess what? I'm going to get on board. And I'm going to see this as a process, because the minute you think, just as Bill well brought out, that you've arrived, you're done. Because the only arrival is that it's appointed unto man once to die, and that, you know, this is supposed to be a struggle, folks. I got news for you. Every war that's ever been fought has been a struggle. Does that mean we're supposed to just slog to our death? Or does that mean that we pull together? More than conquerors. Not just victors, not as sheep led to the slaughter, not as all woe is me, not as I look like I've been baptized in vinegar. But more than conquerors. If all I've got to look forward to is an escape plan, if all I've got to look forward to is a helicopter lift out of Hanoi, what am I going to look forward to? But if I, day by day, have to look forward to being in the Lord's army, if I, day by day, get up and have that daily motivation, if I, day by day, see myself as a covenant keeper, if I, day by day, walk by the newness of life, if I, day by day, proclaim I will be a conqueror, if day by day I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then I'm going to walk that victorious life. Otherwise, at some point, I'm going to shake out. Because I'm telling you, this escape can't come quick enough. There's a sense in that, if that's what I'm looking for, it can't happen quick enough. I've always been inclined to have a good time. I mean, you make the best of any situation that you can. I didn't come to Christ to hang my brains at the door. I didn't come to Christ because I was looking for some church fight. Or because somehow I needed, well, in a sense I did need more rules and regulations. But I didn't need a list of rules and regulations to follow. I needed a Lord. See, when we say that the foundational statement is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, He doesn't mean that as a burden. He says, my burden is easy, my yoke is light, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. A rest. A sweet rest. A covenant rest. A hope. A promise. I wish I could tell you that the minute you come up out of that baptistry, that God's going to zap you, and you're never going to get tired again, and every day you're just going to walk down the aisle with a smile on your face. That and a prescription of Prozac might do it. It's a process. It's a growth process. And it's the only thing that's real. Everything else will be shaken. Everything else will die. Everything else will be burned up. But created in the image of God, allowed to be covenant partners with Him, that is eternal. And what we do today, what you do tonight, what you do tomorrow has eternal consequences. There's no plan B. We're it. We're it. That's not, oh my gosh, where is it? That's not, oh God, they're not too so. No. Praise God, we're yet. Praise God for every individual here tonight, because there's nothing more important happening in Lima tonight. You know, really, it's the first time it came home to me, several years ago, we were on the turnpike going to a Bible study. There were trucks passing us on each side. We're going somewhere, Indiana, I think. Angola, I don't know. Well, I remember we were on the turnpike. The fellow I was with turned to me and said, you know, he said, a lot of commerce going on out here. He said, but you know, the only reason this turnpike was designed is so that the gospel could be spread. And it didn't really hit me before that. You see, there's a lot of important looking traffic on the road. When you leave here tonight, all this was designed for us. All these roads were picked. The big three, they were on, it's so that the gospel could be spread. The internet is for us. You understand that just like we don't have to try to produce the covenant promise of the rainbow, it's not about trying to be the apple of God's eye. You already are. One of the hardest things in my life to believe is that Jesus loves me. I understand that's been the hardest thing for me to believe, is that Jesus loves me. Because if I don't believe that, see, I'm constantly having to prove that somehow. See, if I can't get my head around, I mean, we sing it, we say it, I mean, from a little kid, Jesus loves me, do you really know? I mean, do you understand the covenant relationship and the depth of that love? See, if you understand what He's done for you, then you're not going to have any trouble doing it for Him. You're not going to give a second thought to houses, lands, friends, family, or how your hair is going to look if you should decide to get immersed tonight. It's just not going to be relevant, brethren. Would I rather live a life of ease or be used up in the service of the King? You tell me what's a more honorable existence. My life or His life? A life to maintain my standard of living, my country to the thee? Those are good things. I love America. I love our way of life. But there ain't nothing going to survive. There ain't nothing. No system. No nothing is going to survive outside of those created in the image of God. And you know what? They're right. Underneath this skin, we are all brothers. Even those outside. It's just, which side are we going to be brothers on? I mean, we're brothers with everybody on Adam's side. Only choose who is born of God. Are we brothers on Jesus' side? Have we come to that covenant relationship? And it's not about being good. I know some good people who have neglected the covenant. You don't need the covenant to be good. You need the covenant to be saved. Now, covenant people are going to be good people. It's going to happen because of the covenant, because of faith. But so many times, even our religiosity gets a little bit self-serving, see? It gets to be an escape plan instead of a transformation process. You ever get tired? Yeah. You ever think, man, come quickly, Lord Jesus? Well, because I'm tired. There's nothing wrong with being tired. But think about it. There's some dear people that I want to see come to the covenant before Jesus comes back. I don't care how tired I am. And I will work as long as there is breath in me to bring one more stone into that matrix. And that's the kind of dedication that the covenant is to produce. Now, I've said, continue to say, that sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is go take a nap. But sometimes you're tired enough that you got no business doing the King's work. And you need to go take a nap. I mean, naps are wasted on kids. They don't need naps. Well, when you get to my age, you need a nap. We're doing the important work. We need naps. But sometimes we got no business dealing with eternal things if we're what? But that comes down to being true to ourselves. And the only way I'm going to be true to myself is through the transformation process, not looking forward to an escape. See, the transformation process is an integral part to this covenant. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It is a transformation process that is dictated through the covenant that is just as valid as the covenant of creation, as the covenant of punishment, now as of the new covenant, as God is elevating us by His power. Having a ministry of a new covenant. A ministry of the new covenant. The trouble isn't finding your ministry, it's carrying out the ministry that you have. Arab chief tells a story of a spy who was captured and then sentenced to death by a general in the Persian army. The general had the strange custom of giving the condemned criminal a choice between a firing squad and a big black door. As the moment of execution drew near, the spy was brought in. The Persian general asked the question, what will it be? The firing squad? The big black door? Spy hesitated a long time.
finally he chose the firing squad. Moments later, the shots rang out confirming his execution, and the general turned to his aide and said, "They always prefer the known way to the unknown." Go to a land where you don't know where you're going, but I'll tell you where to go. Take your son, offer him as a sacrifice. You and Sarah are going to have a baby. The general said, "It's characteristic of people to be afraid of the undefined, and yet we gave them a choice." The aide said, "What lies beyond the big black door?" "Freedom," replied the general, "but I've only known a few brave enough to take it." Are you brave enough to take it?